Hello, you are listening to What Would Tracy Sue Do? And I am your host. Yes, I know this is a parody on the common phrase, what would Jesus do? Well, the thing is, Jesus can't tell you what Jesus would do, and you're really just projecting your own desire and want and interpretation on what Jesus would do. So at least I can tell you what Tracy Sue would do. But the bigger and better question for you is, what would you do? What would we do? What should we do as a culture and a society in the face of our current insanity? Now, this radio show podcast is going to ask better questions and come up with sane, reasonable answers. We are being so distracted with the insanity of the circus that is corporate media and the insanity of corporate society and the insanity of our politicians. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been in shock in the last 2 years. As soon as Donald Trump was elected, I had to face the shocking and disturbing fact that this is who we are, that there's this element of racism and misogyny and sexism and violence against all kinds of classes of people that lives in the underbelly of where we are. This phenomenal and disturbing anger of white men. It is truly shocking to me. And for the last 2 years, I've just kind of sat here with my mouth open going, what the fuck is happening right now? And I'm sure you've had similar experiences as you have watched the crazy unfold. But I'm here to tell you that the crazy is a distraction. The crazy isn't actually who we are or how we're behaving as a society or what we believe. This Donald Trump did not win the majority of the vote. And people are being deliberately uneducated and distracted. So I want to invite you to this podcast to ask better questions and have this be a place of sanity. Now, why should you listen to me? Frankly, that's up to you. You can listen or you cannot listen. No one's forcing you to be here. So haters, you can suck it, you're not allowed. And people who want to participate in real discussion, real questions, real solutions, we're going to curate a community. We're going to curate a community of interested, smart, innovative, sane people by inviting only those people who we believe can contribute to this kind of conversation. So my invitation to you is that you subscribe and share, that you invite people not only to listen, but to commune on our Facebook page, which is titled, What Would You Do? This podcast is only a starting point. Now, we do not want people who are spouting Fox News or CNN or the general corporate media or the same stupid information that distracts us from real issues. That is not what we're looking for here. We are looking for sane people with sane solutions and actual information, truth. How does the system really work? How can we use the system? What is up with the system? Why are we not progressing the system? And we're using ideas and things that were practical and made sense in the 1700s. This is not going to work for us anymore. So today I'm going to share with you just a couple of examples of where we're being distracted and where we're asking the wrong questions. I will just tell you a brief bit about myself. I've had 5 years of podcasting and radio experience. I've had 20 years of reporting, being an advocate for all kinds of issues, including gender and equality and even culture and trends. You know how yes is the big keyword now? Well, I started that in 2013 with my book, The Year of Yes. I have also authored over a dozen books, some of which have been Amazon bestsellers, including The Year of Yes, Soul versus Ego Smackdown, and The Girl Revolution Manifesto. And last year I published a book called Book Smackdown, which is a book about how to write a book. So if you'd like to hit Amazon and discover more about me, those are available. My work has been featured in Forbes.com, Today.com, and a feature story in New York Times Magazine. I ran an advocacy movement called the Girl Revolution for several years until my daughter went to middle school and I decided it was wise to not make her life so public. Let's see. I am a thought leader in the sense that I was writing about the pending economic collapse that we experienced in 2008 and 2006. Now, of course, on my little blog, no one was really listening, and I had generally no effect on the outcome of that, but it shouldn't have been a surprise to anyone. I could see it coming from a mile away. I have, during my 25-year media career, been a business and life coach, been a business and economics writer, been a medical and wellness writer, been a spiritual movement thought leader and writer. I've been a business and life coach. I have launched a publishing company and published and even ghostwritten over a dozen books from other authors. I have been tenacious and wicked smart about how to pivot in this industry that has changed so drastically. Now, I don't want you to think that that's arrogant or conceited, but most of the people I started this career with have gone on to become nurses, real estate agents, and timeshare sellers. This is not to say that that was a bad choice for them, but I have committed my life to media and communication. And I'm actually very proud of what I have built over my lifetime. I have sat long and hard with the last 2 years, really just shocked and disjointed where nothing worked for me. It was the first time in my life that I have ever not had a direction, not known what to do next, not known really even what I wanted. I know that changing my business model with every technological advance that has made my business models obsolete within 3 to 5 years of their success is unsustainable. So I've sat with myself and I've asked my soul the deeper questions. What is the point of this? Why are we here? Why am I here? What am I meant to do next? And I have decided that podcasting is where I'm going to take my career now. And I'm committed to that. I'm excited about it. It's the first time in 2 years that I've been excited about anything. Oh my goodness, people are so frustrated with me, from friends and family to colleagues and collaborators. They are so frustrated with me because it took me so long to discover what I wanted to do next. But the criteria for that was that I have a deeper passion, a deeper purpose, and that my life, my business, my career, my family, my health, my well-being, my soul is sustainable for this next chapter. Now, I am definitely part of the spiritual woo-woo community, as well as a reporter and someone who is pragmatic about our economic system and trade and politics. I have a degree in political science and creative writing, so I actually know how the system works. I've interviewed hundreds of people, from entrepreneurs to politicians to administrators to people who are just doing interesting things, or they're not doing anything but just living their lives. This gives me a pulse on how we're doing as a culture and where we're at. So I believe that I have something to offer you. I believe that I have insight other people do not. And again, I invite you to participate in this movement where we ask better questions about things that matter to you personally, and that matter to all of us in the world, really, because we are working in a world economic system now. It is no longer an American economic system. And things are changing so quickly. I know you feel this and I feel this. Even my children have mentioned it, where things feel like they're going faster and faster and faster. And let me tell you, my friends, there is validity in that because things are going so much faster. We spent 100 years in an agriculture society, more than 100 years, actually. That was probably a couple thousand years in an agriculture society. We spent over 100 years in manufacturing society and the Industrial Revolution. But our technological advances have gone so incredibly fast that my career has had to change and had to pivot due to technological advances at least 6 times. Where my parents and your parents and my grandparents worked in the same job or the same profession for their entire lives, I have had to reinvent myself, my business model, and my career 6 times in the last 25 years. I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to think about the movement that has happened in your own life, where you have had to reinvent yourself when you've been laid off or lost a job or when technology made what you're doing obsolete. I want you to think about that because this is really important when you consider our big, huge controversy about building a wall. Is it really immigrants or is it technology? The fact is that it's actually technology. Our machines are doing more. We're doing an international global trade. So often what has happened in my career is that I will be making a great business, a good business model, and it's going great until, you know, my marketing business starts going down because Fiverr was invented, and I'm now competing with an international marketplace where Filipinos and Indians can work for $5 an hour. I can't support a family on that. I can't compete with that. Now, God bless these other countries and the people in those countries who are making a living. But what does this mean for me? It means that unless I pivot, unless I change what I'm doing, unless I watch the economy and the marketplace and make a good gamble, because let's face it, this is a gamble. Will this work for me? Will this be profitable? Will this be obsolete in a few years? It's a gamble when we make a choice to pursue our next chapter. But honestly, we are falling for and being distracted by nonsense, by circus. Politics right now is a freaking circus. Corporate media is an absolute circus. 24 hours a day news really just means that they throw matches on fuel and make things that are not actually things an issue, and it distracts the population. Let's take the wall, for instance. Recently, Donald Trump declared a state of emergency to build this wall. It's a wall that Congress has refused to finance and refused to approve laws that would allow it to continue. Donald Trump has decided that he is going to declare a state of emergency against Mexico and Mexicans, our direct neighbors, and the second largest importer and exporter for America, our neighbors, our friends, and frankly, really valuable guest workers who are willing to do work that, frankly, Americans are not willing to do, and they're willing to do it for very low wages. We are ignoring their actual true economic impact in America. Why? Why is he so interested in this wall? Well, there's one reason. He wants to keep his base, and his base is furious and angry and scared because they're watching Fox News, and Fox News is telling them that everybody's out to get them, that everybody's taking their jobs, that they can't make a living because these immigrants are coming in. Now, I have heard English professors say this. Who is coming to take an English professor job whose second language is English and whose qualifications do not include a master's degree in English? Certainly not Mexicans, perhaps Indians, perhaps other English-speaking nations, but certainly not Mexicans. I have covered industries that are totally dependent on our guest workers from Mexico. These include agriculture, a great deal of agriculture, and a great deal of service. We remove these workers, and who is going to dress in a winter suit and go into a chicken freezer for minimum wage and move chicken around and process chicken? I don't know a single white man who's complaining that his job is being taken over by immigrants who is willing to even take that job. He'd rather be unemployed than take that job. So why else would they be using this inflammatory wall to take up time on television, to take up time on corporate media, to inflame the people, to make us go, what is going on? How can we be doing this? And to create conflict between us. Could it be to distract us from the actual recession that is taking place right now that no one's covering? Could it be that we're in a recession? I mean, certainly you've been to the grocery store lately and you've seen the smaller packages. Well, actually the packages are bigger because we're all about the waste and trashing our environment. The packages are bigger, but what's in the package has shrunk and the prices have increased. And they've increased dramatically in a very, very, very short period of time. I mean, I go to the grocery store every week and every week, you know, people essentially buy the same products. And every week, at least once, I go, what is going on? Why is this costing so much money? We're being distracted by real issues. Fake issues are being used to create a circus. Create a circus, create inflammatory titles and headlines and ratings, and to make people so angry that they can't even see what is truly happening. What is happening with our international relations? What is happening with our global economics and how that is affecting us? What is happening when we put tariffs and refuse to do business with other countries who we are dependent on? Our economics are dependent on our relationship with China. Our economics are dependent on our relationship with Mexico. Our economics are dependent on peace in the Middle East. Like these are, we're in a global economy. We have ability to telecommunicate and work any job in the world without even leaving our houses. I am competing with third world country workers who know English. Okay, well, that is not an immigrant issue. That's a technology issue. And we need to be facing the reality of that and finding real answers and real solutions and asking far better questions. So the question we need to ask is, why are we being distracted? What are we being distracted from? And are we confusing capitalism with democracy? Let me ask you that again. Are we confusing capitalism with democracy? And who does this country exist for? Does it exist for corporations? Or does it exist for the people? And are we confusing corporate rights? I have, you know, quotes or air quotes around rights with the rights of people to live in a free society. Are their rights trumping our rights? And is that okay with us? Because frankly, that's what's going on right now. Okay. Our American military is being used to finance war. Why? Let me just think about that for a second. Why? Just sit there for a second and wonder, why are we doing that? Well, it's for the oil industry. But we don't need to do that anymore. We are trashing our earth, even though, and in the face of, us having the technology and the ability to move from oil to sustainable energy. The technology exists. It can be subsidized and financed with the same money we are currently subsidizing and financing to keep the oil industry profitable. It is not a unsustainable idea. This is not a hard choice. What are we lacking? We are lacking will, and we are lacking a government who is willing to stand up to oil industry and remove their subsidies and move them over into things and energy that are actually sustainable, that we can actually live in. So what is missing here? What's missing here is will. The will of the people to demand responsible leadership and responsible curation of our planet by moving to energy. And what about this corporation? Hey, there's no one preventing Exxon from being the leader in sustainable environmental energy. No one is preventing that. No one is preventing them from privatizing these farms, wind farms or solar farms, or yes, there are things to work out and there will be a transition period. We cannot just cut off oil, for instance. Hey, I drive a car, you drive a car, the kids have to get somewhere, people have to go to work. However, we can make that transition. So what is the better question here? Who is our government and our policy actually serving? Is it corporate greed? I hate to use that phrase. Corporate profit, imaginary numbers in a stock market that could collapse any second because what we're doing economically is completely unsustainable? Or is it to actually create an environment in which we live? Like, let's just face it. There are different kinds of ignorance. There is we didn't know ignorance. And okay, that was probably true 30 years ago when we didn't know what the environmental impact of much of our industry was causing. Especially at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, we didn't know. Okay, but then there's the ignorance of we know, but we don't know how to fix it. All right, so that's a period between we know, but we need some time to investigate how to fix it and develop technology that is better so that we are not destroying our own living spaces, our own way to live, frankly. Then there is willful, stubborn, destructive ignorance. Okay, this is the kind of ignorance that adamantly refuses to acknowledge the problem, adamantly refuses to acknowledge the solutions, adamantly refuses to implement the solutions and to create policies that support those solutions. This is ego, plain and simple. This is a matter of will, and it's a matter of consciousness. So along with the question of who is our government meant to serve, which I would argue is the people, versus who our government is actually serving, which is obviously corporate interests, we have a bigger question. And that is, why are we so hell-bent on self-destruction? We are literally destructing our own ability to live. Like, think about this. We're destroying the air. What do we need to live? Oxygen, air, an atmosphere. What do we need to live? food? And why is it more expensive to buy food that doesn't have poison in it? Like, why is that too much to ask? I would like my food without poison. So we have this massive illness problem where people are getting sick from eating basic foods that are basic to sustaining life, such as wheat and all kinds of vegetables that are supposed to be healthy, but have had their nutritional contents depleted with science. And the poison that we have used to do that is making us sick. Why are we okay with this? We need water. So why is it so hard to get clean water? Why are we suffering from droughts when 80% of the planet is water? We have the technology to transform salt water into drinkable, usable water. We have the technology to pipe water in to our communities with irrigation. We have the technology to fix these problems. So the question becomes, the really important question becomes, why do we not have the will to live? Why are we so concerned with inconvenience that, frankly, I don't think will be that inconvenient, honestly? Why are we so worried about the inconvenience and the short-term imaginary profit from a community, a country, a world that is dependent on oil, which, forget the fact that it's an unsustainable resource, it's also just destroying our groundwater, destroying our food, our air to breathe, our atmosphere. So why are we so self-destructive? Why are we so stubbornly hell-bent on refusing to correct the problem? I think these are incredibly important questions. Are we here as the people to serve corporations and support a supposed free trade, which frankly is a myth? There is no free trade happening here. There is a massive global monopoly on our food system, a massive global monopoly on oil dependence. This is not free trade. We are allowing this delusion of free trade to mask the fact that we're not really living in a democracy. And we are not progressing in a way that's sustainable compared to how quickly things are moving. And where is the spirituality in that? And I'm not talking about religion, okay? I am not talking about dogma. I am not talking about biases created by religion with insistence on ignorance and misogyny being blamed on God. But I am talking about the consciousness and the heart of us as people that is being ignored. We're passing off ignorance as religion and ignoring our own spiritual question. Why are we here? Why don't we want to live? Why are we not having a bright enough consciousness to call bullshit on the circus that is media and call bullshit on the excuses that we're using that are actually self-destructive in such a phenomenal way that it will cause the destruction of the planet? Like, there's just no question. And if you don't agree with that, you're just being intentionally ignorant. And there's no excuse for that. That is unproductive. Where are our true ethics, our morality, like a fundamental morality, not a religious morality? Where is our purpose? Where is our quality of life? What are our true values? The wall isn't about the wall. It's about priorities, our social values, our distraction and our willingness to be distracted, intentional ignorance, a circus created to distract us from real problems that are fixable. and real questions that we definitely need to be asking. So I'd like to talk about just a few of those questions. We're going to talk about so many fantastic questions. Here's an issue. Sorry guys, I gotta get to where I'm at. I've been winging it and I have notes. So, okay, here's a few issues. Why is the Me Too movement even required? Like, that to me is insane, okay? Why is the Me Too movement a surprise? Why are we acting like the cult of the cock in this world didn't exist, or that we are ignorant of it? This is not news, people. This is a global problem that has perpetuated itself across time and eternity. In China, in communist China, women are for the first time speaking out with Me Too. In the Arab world, women are for the first time speaking out with Me Too. And why are we pretending that this is new? Why are we pretending that these are new rules? Why are we pretending that men didn't know that what they have done and what they continue to do to women is wrong? That, again, is ignorance, stubborn ignorance. And while we're at it, why are men so angry? Why are they so insecure and so angry that they feel the need to assault women verbally, energetically, and physically, and emotionally, and mentally? Why? Why do they feel so insecure that they need to have all the power and to use their brutal physical power to keep women in their place? Why? Why are they so insecure? Now, men, I invite you to ask that question because it's a real question, it's highly legitimate, and it needs to be addressed. And women, it is time to stop the silence, because the silence is what allows this to continue. Now, before now in history, you will pay a serious social penalty, a professional penalty, a familial and cultural penalty to speaking out and telling people what is happening to you, to your sisters, to your mothers, to your daughters, at the hands of men. However, we're at a period in time with the Me Too movement where if women in communist China can stand up and say, Me Too, this is enough, we're not allowing this anymore, then certainly American women can do the same. Along with the Me Too movement, one of my favorites is Out Them movement. And I have begun doing this, and there's many more women who are also doing this. Hashtag Out Them is basically providing the evidence that is so demanded. Oh, that never happened to her, because there's no evidence. Oh yeah? Well, I'm getting texts, I'm getting dick pics, I'm getting harassed on Facebook Messenger. And honestly, since the Me Too movement and Donald Trump took office and Kavanaugh was put in the Supreme Court, this has really skyrocketed in my life. The constant energetic abuse through texts, through private messages on Facebook. It has probably tripled the amount of harassment that I am receiving. I am receiving harassment at least every week. Just dudes who feel like they can message me on my Facebook and tell me that they want to fuck me. This is unacceptable. Okay, this is definitely unacceptable, and it is increasing. It is way crossing the line. Like, it's not even flirting. It's straight up abuse. It's way crossing the line. And I am taking screenshots of that, and I am putting it on my Facebook page, because I don't owe you my silence. And you don't owe them your silence either. And while they feel entitled to this, they are not entitled to this. And if they are confused about what is acceptable and what is not, we're going to talk about that and educate on that. And I actually have had several men tell me they don't know what they're allowed to say and what they're not allowed to say. And they thought this stuff only happened on TV. Now, I don't believe them for a second. They know exactly what is happening, and they know exactly what is allowed, and they know exactly what they're allowed to say and what they're not allowed to say. They know what respect for women is. And even if they're the good guy, they have perpetuated this by not creating a culture that gives them penalty. Now, I know they can create a culture that provides penalty because men will stand up for children. A child molester is in very much danger, not even by the law, but through social penalty from other men. They have the ability to create a culture where this is no longer acceptable. And we have people like Tony Robbins, a very well-respected executive coach, warning women that they will not get hired if they do Me Too, hashtag Me Too on their social media, and they speak out and they stop keeping these men's secrets. The real question here is why Tony Robbins didn't warn the men who are sexually harassing, energetically assaulting, physically assaulting women in the workplace, that if they are outed, they will not be employable. They will not be promoted. They will lose their jobs. Let's think about that for a second. Why did Tony Robbins focus on the wrong fucking thing? Why did he essentially blame women for telling the truth instead of telling men to shape up and improve their behavior, because there will be professional consequences? And why are we allowing this to continue in young boys? My daughter, who is 17 years old, has been sexually harassed through texts, through social media, verbally, in person, from boys her age. She has been sexually assaulted twice. This isn't getting better, and it's not going to get better until we shine a light on it. We create consciousness around it, especially in the male community. I mean, come on, men. If you're a good guy, be a good guy. Create an environment where you're not indulging this behavior in your male culture and society and your friends and your siblings and your parents. Stop it. You have the power to stop it. And women, you are not responsible for keeping their secrets anymore. I know that this has been so prevalent in our lives, and we have been dealing with it in one way or another, that it's almost hard to determine what is acceptable and what is not. So we're going to talk about that on this show. We're going to have episodes that address what men can say, what they can't say, how women can protect themselves by providing evidence. Dude, let me tell you, it is not just criminal behavior that needs to stop. Something is not wrong just because it's against the law. And just because you're prosecuted or not prosecuted in the law is almost irrelevant. This is a cultural issue. Social consequences can change this. Just because something is legal does not make it right. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to be informative to men. We're going to be informative to women. And I highly encourage you to provide the evidence that people are looking for so that they can no longer pretend that this is an anomaly, that it only happens to certain kinds of women, that it only happens from some kinds of men. No, absolutely unacceptable. Screenshot their behavior, if they do it in print, through text, through private messages, in whatever way they choose to do it, screenshot it and publish it on your social media page. This is how we create change. They are not entitled to treat us this way. We have the power to change it by shining light on it and providing a firm no. Social penalty, social shaming is appropriate here. It is not bullying to simply show what they are doing. No commentary necessary. You put that on your Facebook page, what they say when they think that it's private, when they say, when they think we'll keep their secrets, think about what their boss is going to say, or their customers are going to say, or their daughters are going to say, or their wives and girlfriends are going to say, or people who might date them in the future are going to say. Okay, they're the ones who need the consequences, professional, social, familial. They need the consequences because they're the ones doing it wrong. So, you know, fuck you, Tony Robbins. Okay, let's move on to, let's move on to our political system that is so outdated that it no longer serves us. Okay, let's move on to the fact that our system was created by this very, very small population of white males, frankly, privileged white males, landowners who were allowed to vote at the time when women weren't allowed to vote, when we had slavery, when we were a very, very small population of Puritans and pilgrims and ex-cons. Okay, we lived in a paradigm that is so different, so incredibly different than we live in now. We have a system that is created in that environment, in that culture. Our founding fathers, we are considering the wisdom of them more valid than our own, even though these guys would never even be able to imagine. Like, they can't even, like, they could never have conceived of our technology, of our huge populations, of our magnificent diversity, of modern problems, of the internet. They could not have conceived of that ever. Okay, ever. Ever. They could not have conceived of that. And they also operated in a much different social paradigm than we do. A very small paradigm of a very small group of people. They operated from a place where they were coming from countries like England, where the monarchy was killing people of their opposite religion. So the monarchy would change Protestant, Catholic, Protestant, Catholic, Protestant, Catholic. And whatever you aligned with, you were going to be beheaded. Okay, so freedom of religion was actually a phenomenal movement. However, because the paradigm was so narrowly based in Christianity, we have become confused about the idea that other religions, including the Islamic community and Muslims, are allowed to exist here without you, Christians, trying to control other people's behavior. So at one point, it really, really, really made sense for it really made sense to have an electoral college. And the reason that it made sense was because we lived in an agriculture community and we were spread out over a large, large mass of land. We had small communities that could not cast votes unless they sent a representative to the castle to deliver the message of their will. Okay, that is the origin of our electoral college. It made sense when we had a small population, small communities, and we needed to send one horseback rider to the capital to deliver our will. In today's world, this is so outdated, it's unbelievable. In modern times, we now know that the majority vote is not the one that's winning, and that is due to the Electoral College and how we have arranged this based on our realities from hundreds of years ago. We don't have to do that anymore. Just because it made sense then does not mean that it makes sense now in our current reality. It absolutely doesn't. Through internet technology and things like systems that cryptocurrency are working on, we have the ability to cast a vote from our homes on the internet using a completely individual identity online. Okay, we have the ability to create that technology, and we have the ability to actually do a majority democratic rule. So how on earth are we so attached to our original ideas that we cannot make this transformation that actually serves the people and does not serve our bipolar party system, that does not allow corporations more power than the people have, that does not put these people into office that are actually not elected by the majority? And that includes Donald Trump. He did not win the majority vote. He won an electoral college vote that is so outdated, it no longer serves us. And are we seriously looking at the founding fathers and suggesting that they could have envisioned this world today and that their judgment is better than ours on issues like this? I would argue absolutely fucking no. Okay, we might as well be aliens from spaceships as far as the founding fathers are concerned, as far as the prophets from sacred texts are concerned. Our reality today is so much different that the only thing we can do is work from wisdom, from these living words. If you believe the Constitution and sacred texts like the Bible or the Tao Te Ching or whatever it is you are committed to, if you believe that those are living words containing wisdom, we can move forward using those documents for the values and the essence of ideas contained within those documents without strapping handcuffs on us and disallowing our system to progress socially and politically and economically in a world that exists today. We have a right to do this. We have an obligation and a responsibility to do this. We are allowed to tell corporations they're not allowed to poison our air, our water, and our food so that we can sustain our own life. Like, we can't be that self-destructive to assume that corporate rule is free trade, because it's not. It is not free trade. It's not in our best benefit. It actually endangers our lives and put corporate rights ahead of the people's rights. We don't exist for them. We exist for us. We should be allowed to live and drink clean water and eat clean food and breathe clean air. We should be allowed to not have our atmosphere destroyed so that we can't even live on this planet. It is not more reasonable, as I recently heard suggested, that we continue on this current path and just hope that eventually we have the science to allow us to populate Mars. Like, that's just so fucking stupid, because we have the technology now to fix the problem. What we don't have is the will, and that is caused by the circus we are now living in with 24-hour news and insanity in our government and a lack of will, a willful ignorance from pure stubbornness and insistence that we can go backwards. We can't go backwards. I know it's going so fast. I feel overwhelmed and rushed all the time too. It's going so fast. I've had to reinvent my own career 5 times already. It's going so fast. I understand the stress involved, but we can't fix it by belligerently insisting that what is true isn't true. What is true is not true. Now, Okay, so let's look at issues. They're real issues, and things have changed, and we need to change with them. We cannot rely on the founding fathers stating things like we have the right to bear arms and then using that as an excuse to keep military-grade weapons in our basements. Like, okay, you have the right to bear arms. That was originally given to us, again, because historically, in the old world, if you will, governments were marching on people's property and land and killing them for their religious beliefs, etc., okay, for their whatever the reason, because they wanted to obtain power, okay? So the people needed to arm. And, you know, back in the day when we were a country that was basically uninhabited, sorry, Native Americans, but for the sake of this argument, it was uninhabited huge masses of land. Yeah, it totally made sense to have a government and militias in local areas who could protect themselves from dangers, okay, from other people and tribes coming in to harm them, assassinate them. It made sense to have weapons to, you know, kill animals, to protect your livestock and your family. This totally made sense. Of course it did. But back then, you had access to a cannon and a pistol and a rifle. Okay, that is it. That's all you had access to. You did not have access to explosive devices, automatic machine guns, and military-grade weapons. You didn't have access to it, and they couldn't have imagined. There would be no context for it. They couldn't have imagined the reality that we live in today. The arguments used for hunting, there are laws that prevent you from using a machine gun to kill an elk. And in fact, we protect our wildlife to such a degree that you don't get to hunt unless you win a lottery. Because we are protecting those animals from unfair annihilation. So if you're a hunter, you don't need military-grade weapons. And to the point of us protecting ourselves from the government, it's a delusion. Because the government has the technology to wipe you out whenever they want. They don't have to go to a war. All they have to do is poison the water. They don't have to shoot you with a machine gun or have a soldier march into your house. If they put a little drone the shape of a fly and just shoot a little bit of poison into you, you're going to die. Now, this technology exists, and to pretend that the armory in your basement is going to protect you from the military is a delusion that is outdated, inaccurate, and untrue. Now, I get it. I like shooting. It's really fun. I'm a great shot. I grew up with rednecks. A lot of them have a lot of weapons. I went to my grandmother's funeral, and I've never seen so many guns in my life, okay? Everybody's packing, all right? I come from rednecks. You know, the Mormons are all about self-sufficiency and protecting themselves from, you know, the havoc that will be reached at the end of time. And the rednecks from Texas just, you know, we're going to keep our guns. I get it. But the thing is, that doesn't make it a free-for-all, or at least it doesn't have to. The vast majority of Americans support some gun restrictions. The vast majority of Americans would prefer that a nutcase didn't get to buy a gun at a garage sale or on Craigslist. The vast majority of Americans would like there to be fewer guns in the hands of criminals. And the NRA is actually what's preventing that, because the NRA puts money in politician pockets to prevent any restrictions at all. Like, think about that, any restrictions. Now, we know from the tobacco industry that we can require certain things, such as advertising and public service announcements telling people what the consequences, the health consequences of smoking cigarettes is. We also can prevent young people from obtaining cigarettes, and they have to educate young people about the dangers of cigarettes. Why is there no required education from arms dealers, the NRA, gun sellers? We aren't even teaching gun safety in our schools. Think about that for a second. My neighbor has a gun. Everyone in my family has guns. I went to my grandmother's house one day and my uncle forgot his gun in the bottom drawer of the dresser. Like, think about that. I had a three-year-old at the time. That did not make me happy. Okay. When I see someone who has a whole bunch of weaponry stickers, bumper stickers on the back of their car, I don't feel safer. I feel less safe. When I see insane people, and let me just note again, white males, shoot up a school, shoot up a crowd at a music venue, go into a theater and shoot it up, which is happening so often we're not even noticing anymore. I have to wonder why the NRA has more rights than a child does to not get shot at school. I have to wonder why that white male's desire to own an armory in his basement is a bigger right, a more important right, than people who are just walking around in public trying to mind their business, get an education, see a concert, see a movie, whatever it is that they're doing on just a normal day in their life. Why is his right more important? Why is the NRA more important? This is not about hunting. This is not about the right to bear arms. There are a lot of places between armory in your basement and the ability to buy a gun at a fucking garage sale and some restriction, and no guns whatsoever, which is nonsense. I've never heard a single person argue that, although many countries, many democratic countries have gone with no gun violence because they have forbidden the use of guns, including Australia, who used to be just like America. They don't have a gun violence problem. So let me ask you, what the fuck are you so scared of? Like, if an insane person is going to attack you with the gun, it's because he can get a gun. We know that a lot of children and a lot of innocent people are murdered with guns. Isn't there a reasonable conversation that we could have that lands between free-for-all and no guns at all? I think there are a lot of places we could land between there, and the American people vastly agree that there are places we could land in between those two extremes. And we need to step up for the rights of ourselves and our children to be able to walk safely around the world, live in our lives without the threat of gun violence and mass murder. I have a teacher friend who's a professor. She said the first thing she does when she starts a new semester is look around the room and identify who she thinks would be a shooter and who she thinks is packing that could prevent or fight the shooter. Think about that for a second. She's a teacher and she is in a high risk, high probability of violence. Teachers and students, we had a march with students. We're not protecting them. Why is that dude's right to own massive guns that are unrealistic and have no practical use in society more important than our children's rights to get an education without fear of being shot by some maniac? Okay, these are legitimate points that we should be asking, and we should not allow the distraction of inflammatory media and the NRA and their very small population of supporters to determine our policy and to restrict our rights as citizens and the people. Okay, I know I'm just getting so passionate, but you know what? Frankly, I have been holding this in and holding myself silent to avoid criticism, to avoid attacks by people on social media to avoid conflict with my family to the point where, I'm not even kidding, I am biting my tongue in my sleep hard, like hard enough to wake myself up and go, ah, what is up with that? Like frequently. And the only thing I know how to do, the only reason I'm here on earth, is to express. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to give you permission to do that. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. And I'm going to create a culture and a community which is curated with sane people through this podcast. Okay, I have so much more to say, and I think that I'm going to stop because we've gone on, and also I'll just save these for another episode. So here's the format that I am planning. Of course, this is a brand new podcast, so as we go along, we'll learn and shift as needed. My encouragement to you is that you subscribe and share this podcast to people who you know are interested, sane, and can contribute to our community. I want this community to be curated. I am not going to allow inflammatory distractions and insane, ridiculous arguments created by media. I'm just not going to allow it, okay? It's just not going to be, it's not going to happen. So I'd appreciate it if you were selective in who you shared this with. I do want it to be educational and bipartisan and include both genders and all races and cultures, sexual orientations, gender orientations. I want it to be inclusive, very much so. However, I do not want it to be just more of the same bullshit that we deal with in the circus of media and in online insanity. Okay, this group, this Facebook private community is where we will communicate together. I'll be publishing a podcast once a week. And I sometimes just get overwhelmed with something that just happened and I just want to express myself about it. So I will be doing that through Facebook Lives or through some other medium, writing or whatever on the Facebook group. So I hope that you join that because it's going to have extra information that is just spontaneously produced by me because I feel some fire in my belly, and I invite you also to participate in that. Let's see, the larger this group, here's the thing, the larger this group is, the bigger the interview we can get, okay? I've spent my entire life reporting in one capacity or another. I have interviewed a lot of really awesome people, famous people, authors, politicians. And if we get a really big following on this, we can get bigger and bigger and bigger names. Okay, so that's another reason to subscribe, because if we have a lot of subscribers, if I contact someone that I think will add something to our conversation and they look at that, they will be agreeable to come on this show, and it will provide a much better experience with a lot more depth to our conversation. So I am Tracy Sue. This is What Would Tracy Sue Do? Please join me on the Facebook page, What Would You Do? And let's start asking better questions.